there are opportunities in life for gaining knowledge and experience.
So let's have a conversation.
Okay. What would you like to have a conversation about?
Welcome to the 43rd episode of The Conversation, a Nordic film podcast. Today we are going to a quiet place and talking about Phantom Threat. Right?
That
two movies.
Excellent. Well done.
Just trying to tie it in there.
Yeah,
we're going to tackle two movies in this episode. But first, we're going to open our beers, get into all that, and then probably discuss a few other things that we've been watching lately, and then just get into it. So, Tryggve, what are you drinking today?
I'm repeating myself this time, I think. It's La Trappe.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Trappist. Vita
the Trappist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is from... Netherlands.
Okay.
Yes, the Netherlands. Here's the moment we've been all been waiting for.
Yes. Good.
And here I am without a glass.
Oh, no. So, now he's drinking straight from the bottle.
Yeah, I have a... My sense memory is sensing that. I don't remember drinking it before, but something good about it, you know.
Okay.
A good feeling. So, yeah, it's okay. Yeah, it's okay.
Okay,
yeah.
Trappist.
What about you?
Okay. I have a taco, I think. T-H-A-G-A-A-R-D. Teco. It's a Nordic beer from Thisted Bryggeriet, a Danish brand.
Wow.
Here you go.
Taco.
Taco.
Taco. Yeah.
Apparently, it is a kind of a fruity beer. But it's not, you know, it's not a wheat beer, so it's more like a normal beer, but lightish. I'm going to open it now.
Okay.
Smells good. And there you go with your clickety click.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's see how this one tastes.
It's a nice color.
It's a very nice color. Mm.
Yeah?
It tastes a little bit smoked.
Hmm.
A little bit like silt. You know, herring?
Really?
In a way. For some reason, that's at least what I'm sensing right now. What my palate is telling me.
Wow.
It's, yeah, or maybe it's dill. Let me just see. Maybe that's the, no, you know, it's just because there's birch and some other things in it. Fir and pine, pine cone in it. I think it's the pine. It's, yeah, it's good.
This podcast is becoming less of a film podcast and more of a beer podcast.
Well, I mean, we have to practice reviewing other things
yes.
as well. You know, I don't have all the vocabulary to do beer honor, but you know, it's fun getting the opportunity to describe a beer.
Yeah, you're getting there. So,
thank you.
So, what have you been watching?
Well, as you know, my mother-in-law has been visiting us for the past 10 days. And as you know, she likes crime, police, thrillers.
Oh.
However, we have not been watching any of those.
Really?
Because she's been trying to, I don't know, be good to us and go out of her comfort zone.
Okay.
You know? So, yeah, we've been watching a few movies, mainly from Netflix, actually. None that I actually want to recommend too much. unfortunately. We did watch Layla M, which is about a young girl in Holland, in the Netherlands, who are being radicalized and goes to Syria. It sounds like a very important movie and something that should be good, but it's really it's just not getting there. It the idea is good, but it's, I don't know, it's not worth your time, I think, unfortunately. All right. Also, one movie that has gotten, well, I've seen at least on Netflix, is Giant. Have you seen that on Netflix? No. It's a Basque movie, so like Spanish, from the okay. Basque area.
Yeah.
Which sounds very good again, but for some reason, it doesn't really resonate with an international audience. I checked up on some reviews after watching it, and the only ones that are giving it favorable reviews are Spanish speaking. it's won a lot of awards. It's beautiful, beautifully shot. But to me, it was just kind of boring, unfortunately. Like, the pacing was deliberate, yet very slow and boring in a way.
Okay.
And it seemed like you needed to know the story beforehand, because apparently it's a big story that is known in that area. So yeah, Giant, a very local film, but doesn't really hit it with the international audience, I think.
All right.
So, but well made. Last thing, the one movie that we actually watched and kind of enjoyed was Funny Games.
Haneke.
Michael Haneke. Yeah. Yeah. The U.S. edition.
First, okay.
Yeah. Have you caught up with it?
Not yet.
Yeah.
But,
not yet.
Okay. You put me on alert, and I have to catch up with Haneke, like so many filmmakers I have yet to catch up with.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I won't go too much into it then, other than say that due to our discussion about the soundtracks and whether you need a score or not,
yeah,
Funny Games is just a masterclass in how to use sound and not score. You know, there's basically no score in that
I
movie.
See.
There are a few diegetic things. One non-diegetic, very deliberately, and then only normal sounds, and it makes for this very intense movie.
Okay.
I can tell you, I've watched the original one, which is an Austrian movie. It's extremely tense and kind of hard to watch. Funny Games US, even though you've seen it before, it's still really tense and hard to watch. So, on that note,
tense what have and you hard been watching? To watch. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
But good.
Yeah. I gathered that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have a recommendation for Valla.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Valla, if you're listening, go to Netflix and watch The Break from Belgium. La Trêve, I believe it's pronounced. Oh, I'm just guessing. I don't know how it's pronounced. I'm doing my best French. Mm. I think that's French instead of like Flemish.
Yeah.
La Trêve. Mm-hmm.
La Trêve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's...
I think they started it. Actually,
yeah.
When I was out.
Mm-hmm. Did they?
Yeah.
Okay, we're like five episodes in, like out of 10.
Yeah.
And I am just liking it a lot.
Wow. Big words from Tryggvi.
I am liking it a lot. I it has, in my opinion, the best title card sequence, the beginning sequence
okay. mm-hmm.
I have ever seen.
Okay.
The song, the how the characters, actors are like introduced.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good.
Okay.
It's very, very good. That kind of sets the tone, and it's so many things I like about it. The casting, it's the people seem very, it's a countryside kind of thing. And it bears all the Nordic noir resemblance to that in every sense. And yeah, I'm really excited. My wife is not so excited, but she's like...
She's already figured it out.
She, no, no. She's hanging in there. But it's... yeah, I recommend it. I'm really excited about it. And I watched a French thing the other day. Like I told you about that, the L'Amante.
Yeah.
This is way better.
Okay. Yeah, because you talked about L'Amante and, and it didn't make me want to watch it.
No.
Really.
It was okay. If you, but you kind of have to like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Valla would watch it to the end, you know?
Yeah.
And Valla's going to like this. Well, if she, you know, if I know Valla, and I don't really know Valla.
but from what I've told you about her,
But I will say that what I have known of Valla, I like. So there you go.
Just for the record, Valla is my mother-in-law.
Yeah. Okay.
Then
that's...
Yeah, okay. So so that's what you've been watching
just
lately.
Go and watch the beginning sequence.
Yeah. Is it very Netflix-y? Like, you know, Netflix has gone really much into making these... Well, intro sequences.
I don't know. I rarely notice these things, but but this one really stands out to me. Maybe it's just me. I don't know.
And I will look it up. Maybe just right after our show here.
I'm excited. So there you go. It's not perfect, of course. There's some stupid stuff there, but none that have to do with the kind of the pacing and the plot is solid and stuff like that. And the acting is very good, and the the casting especially very good. But there you go. I hope you watch it and we can talk about it next time. Maybe you can shoot it down.
Yeah, I will. Right.
Of course, I thought Belgian thing. I need to watch a Belgian thing since we're going to Belgium. So,
yeah, I can tell you we also watched Layla M. About that radicalized Muslim girl. They traveled through Belgium.
Okay.
Yes, and I thought, hey, maybe we should talk about that. But then it wasn't all that good.
See, I still haven't. We were talking about doing a Belgian thing of some sorts, but I still haven't gotten around to Googling like Belgian cinema.
No,
you know.
I think I have an acquaintance
really
from Belgium that might be able to point us like in the direction of some good stuff.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I'll try and work that angle.
Okay, you. You have an angle again. What about Tomas? Did you talk to Tomas finally?
Actually, I didn't get a hold of him, and he's been radio silent ever since.
Wow.
I don't know. Maybe something happened in Russia. I hope not.
Maybe he caught the show and just really detests us and our lack of knowledge.
Maybe. Let's hope not. I want to make an extra little segment at some point with a small interview, but you know, now time has come and gone.
It has. You know,
it has. Unfortunately, Tomas.
Okay.
You need to be on your toes.
I mean, but he's a professional, he's in the business, so he's gonna chime in at some point.
Yes,
he has to.
He will.
He will.
Like once
we
review one of those movies.
Yeah. Anyways, I have something else.
Yes.
I was gonna try to rewatch
Minority
Phantom
Report,
Phantom Threat, and I illegally because it was only shown in Iceland the one time, actually, I think it was two screenings. I cut one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And but I didn't get around to. Instead, I watched on television Minority Report.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do, because yeah. I watched it fairly recently.
Really?
Because I never watched it before.
Okay. Yeah. That has some interesting connotations to the modern world, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
It's not really.
I guess the plot is the premise is kind of relevant.
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really all that good as a film, but it kind of kept a hold of me for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I watched it all the way through, and I was entertained somewhat.
Yeah. And it wasn't the first time you watched it, right?
No.
But did you watch it when it came out?
I did. I wasn't like blown away or anything like that. Mm. Even though my view of film has changed dramatically the past couple of years or so.
Mm-hmm.
You know that.
Yeah.
Even it had begun to change a lot before we started the podcast, but still it's changed dramatically.
Yeah.
Since we started.
Yeah, but you know, Minority Report has been regarded, or is probably still regarded, as one of those great sci-fi films. But since I didn't watch it when it came out, and watched it now, and with all the, well, good words about it and all that, I don't think it holds up in that way. But yeah, I see it as the premise. You know, the premise of the movie is really good, and it's extremely relevant today as well.
It's relevant, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's
a Tom Cruise action film.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah,
and some people like that. Even
it might be better than Jack Reacher 2.
It is much better than Jack Reacher 2. Oh my God. Yeah. We did that as a main film, didn't we?
Yes.
Oh my God.
And luckily so, because it's one of our most listened to episodes. You know? Most beloved episodes.
Yeah, it's the power of Tom Cruise.
Yeah, it is.
Sometimes
we need to do another Tom Cruise movie.
Yeah. Sometimes it's more fun to listen to people like hating films.
Yes.
I guess.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that is not today, my friend.
I don't think it will be. I'm not sure if we totally agree, but... No.
Let's see. Yeah.
Yeah. So, should we just go dive into A Quiet Place?
Oh, yes. No. I'm going to hang you up there.
Okay.
Hang
me up. Wow, that's... okay.
Yeah, well, cut you off. Not really hang you up. No, I just want to put in that we are going to watch something a little bit special on Friday, probably, because the first Netflix-produced TV series is opening on Friday, the 4th of May, which is Danish. Netflix.
Yeah, Danish.
The Rain, I think it's called. I just watched the trailer. It left me... wanting maybe a little bit more.
What's it called again?
The Rain.
The Rain. Is it a thriller kind of thing? Or
it's apocalyptic, post-apocalyptic thriller, I think. Something about the rain being like the rain carrying viruses. So it's kind of like probably not a zombie thing, but it's dangerous to be outside, so people have to go underground and that kind of stuff.
So it related to our first feature this evening, I would say.
Well, a little bit. Yes. It might be. And we'll have to see if the rain is actually anything worth talking about. But it's exciting with Netflix producing a TV series in Denmark, I guess.
It is.
So the 4th of May, it's out. And we'll try and watch it, even though the trailer seemed very American. Like this kind of American thing, just in Denmark.
That's tomorrow in terms of this. The
yes,
airing of this
like
episode.
Once we release, then it's 2 days from now.
All right.
Yeah. All right. But on that note, let's go to a quiet place.
Okay. Yeah, you just take that from me, won't you?
Okay. Okay. You go.
A quiet place. That was a clip from A Quiet Place, the new suspense thriller from director-actor John Krasinski with his debut, directorial debut.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Yeah.
I think he has directed some other things, but this is
first feature
the
film.
Big one. Yeah.
I think he developed the script as well, and... So it's kind of a first film. You went into it thinking that and maybe not expecting too much because it was like a... for me, it's always like that when it goes to the mainstream theaters. Yeah. I mean, you don't expect that much, but I was pleasantly surprised. What about you, René?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah?
It's a very different movie. Very different experience watching it in a cinema.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't know. I haven't seen it in any other way. So
no. But many movies, when you watch them in a cinema, it's a certain way, and you can have your popcorn, you can drink your Coke or whatever if you're so inclined.
Mm-hmm.
But in this movie, you can't really do any of that. At least you'd need to be very quiet about it because the movie is so quiet in itself and it's so tense. So you don't really want to spoil the fun. And, you know, it was completely quiet in my theater when I was watching it.
Yeah, with us too. It was... Yeah.
And it wasn't because people didn't like it or engage with it. It was just, you know... You had to be quiet.
That's what this film makes you do. You are quiet, and you are because of the lack of sound, and you can't make a sound in the film. You don't dare like doing the whole popcorn, like you know.
No, the first thing that Elin did when the movie opened was take the back of Dronningemandler, this little like candy thing I like, and then opening it really slowly and putting her hand into it. And it was just like cracking all over. I was just saying, that is very unsettling.
Yeah. She must have done that when they were still in the at the general store.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before you really knew how, like, what you were about to see. But I gave her the evil eye, and then I, well.
I think, Rune, we should stop at this point and just say that we're not going to spoil anything here with this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And please, people, go see it. It's still in theaters. Go see it.
Yeah, you really should.
But as a father, how did that work for you there, like the first half hour or so?
It was very much the protective father type he is.
Yeah.
No, like it didn't, like, the movie in general didn't affect me that much.
No.
Actually, not as much as Elin. But I feel like all of the scares were actually like genuine.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the whole introduction. I loved how they set up this this world that they're in the first sequence, you know, the first basically 7 minutes probably.
Mm-hmm.
I loved how they set up what the stakes are if you actually make a sound. And it was without explaining anything really you just knew, and then you jump forward in time, and then they're just living that life. I thought it was great, but it didn't, like, you know, I wasn't moved by it. I was not, like, scared as much as as Aileen was all the time. However, as soon as
I was really tense.
I was very tense. Yeah.
You know, I could use a massage when I came home because it was really, you couldn't really, your muscles were like stiff.
Yeah.
Because you were like completely still all the time and you didn't want to move really because you didn't want to make a sound.
Yeah.
And that's, it kind of gets you that way in the theater. And that is some achievement, I have to say.
I think it's a huge achievement.
Yeah.
And it is a small movie. Yeah. And
sure.
And its premise is extremely simple.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those premises where you think, why don't more people do it? In a way. You know, it's a very good premise for a horror film as well. And it just makes, like, every single little thing that any of the characters are doing, it makes it nerve-wracking because it could go wrong at any moment. It's not like, oh, now you're safe all of a sudden.
No,
like, you could always drop something. You could always do something that would make a sound and it would be, you know, bad for you.
Yeah, it affects you in that way because it's constant. The dread is constant.
Yeah.
And you kind of get the feeling, of course, you don't really, but you kind of, you don't want to, like, drop your candy or do anything with your popcorn to make a sound because you kind of, you're in the moment and it is the dread is constant. That's in my mind when I went, Annihilation was in my mind.
Yeah.
And you know, I didn't like that very much, but
wrongfully so.
I don't know, but I'm sticking to my guns about that one. But although this is very, very different, dread-wise, I'm not going to say better because it's so different. But when it comes to dread and using that and the monsters and all that, how they went about that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a spoiler to say that they live in a world where they have to be silent or they get eaten, basically.
Yeah.
There are monsters that they're blind but have extremely good hearing. So
yeah.
But everybody knows that. So that's not a spoiler.
No, not really.
So what was I saying? Yeah, the dread.
It
was constant. I was like bored of wood when I came out. I was like, it's really difficult. It was a difficult film to watch, I thought.
Yeah.
Especially having just recently been through, had a son, you know?
Yeah.
All that thing. That was tough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You just, when you saw she was pregnant, that was, I was like, oh my God.
Why did they do that?
What the exactly? Why did they do that?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But, you know, maybe there was a reason for it. but you know, that whole sequence with the, well, once the baby had to come out, that really, like, it was a very tense scene. Very well done with the cross cutting between the different situations with the father and son and the girl and everything. It all came together in such a beautiful way. All the while, my hand was being crushed by Aileen because she, like, the whole birthing situation really resonated with her. It's been too short a time.
I can only imagine,
you know.
Delivering a baby under that kind of a circumstance, it was for a while there, it was almost too much for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was too difficult at one point, but it, you know, I'm really happy about this film.
Yeah,
I'm really happy. Yeah. It's I was so happy when they surprised me in the mainstream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, it is a mainstream movie. There are flaws that you could dive into. Also, with the whole world, like, I think they built the world really well, but there are just some things where you're like, I mean, should they really do that if they've been living there for such a long time? But ultimately, I don't think it really matters, because the feeling was there. You felt the dread all the time. It put you in the situation. You were sitting there in the cinema feeling like you shouldn't make a sound because it was so tense.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for all that, it was just successful.
Extremely effective in what it was trying to do. I think that's the thing. Mm-hmm. But you can, like you say, you can question things. You can question the whole, where did they get all that sand or salt, whatever that was.
And like, why not do, well, not to get into spoiler territories, but, you know, but I mean, there's many things that they could have done differently in order to lure the monsters away from them, you would think. But, you know, the movie didn't spend a lot of time on actually, like, understanding what the monsters are, where they came from.
No.
Why are we in this world? And, you know, in some way that was very refreshing, because you were only there for the people and they were living under these circumstances. And it didn't really matter where they came from. And the people that you were following didn't know where they came from.
Did you think that was refreshing? You didn't spend any time on. There was no a missile that hit the ground somewhere to explain what happened, like in Annihilation. There was no attempt made to explain anything
explanation in Annihilation.
Apocalyptic world. Mm-hmm. This is where we are.
Yeah.
I'm poking you with Annihilation.
I don't think they relate at all, these two movies.
The only thing is that it was in my mind when I watched it. That's the only relation. Mm. But yeah.
Yeah, but it's, you know, I like that they didn't want to go deeper into it. However, I was always thinking, why are they here, you know? Like, as much as I like that they didn't go into it, I actually wanted to know a little bit more about it as well.
Well, when you're a space traveling monster, I mean, I guess if you find something you can eat.
You know, I never thought it would be a space traveling thing necessarily.
Really?
Yeah.
Genetically something?
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, that's what it. Like, it leaves the interpretations up to
I never even thought viewer, about it, I guess. Not being a space thing.
Visitors
from outer space.
I didn't think of that. Yeah. You know, but maybe it's because, just to go into a little bit of some nerdy stuff.
Okay.
There is a computer game that I love to death, basically. Okay. It's probably the best video game of all time. There, I said it. It's called The Last of Us, and it's about, well, this post-apocalyptic world.
Okay.
Where there's a lot of monsters, quote unquote, who are blind but have a very keen sense of hearing, and
really,
the game is all about moving very slowly and not being spotted, and you can be right in front of these monsters, but they can't see you, they can only hear you, and they also emit that sound, that sonic sound, like thing, like a clicking noise, in order to see where people are or like things are around them, so they don't go into things, which these monsters also do. And once you've played The Last of Us, you're always very scared of that clicking sound, and the clicking sound was also here in A Quiet Place. So that was
okay. I didn't know really about that game.
No, and the game is actually being made as a movie, unfortunately. But
so, do you think maybe the writers are just playing around with that idea? Same idea. They've played the game, and this is a good idea.
It's very different in some ways, but I think it could be
yeah.
But the game is more of they explain it as this parasite that is actually coming and taking over people and making them zombie-like, but it's basically just a parasite that changes them into these blind creatures. It's an extremely good game, and I would highly recommend anyone to play it. It's like one of those cinematic games where the story is key, and it's emotional. Okay. It's beautiful, yeah. And it's about these monsters that can't see. Blind monsters, you know.
Yeah, we'll put that in our list, won't we?
Yeah, we'll try. Yeah, yeah, somehow. Yeah, and you'll have to play it at some point.
I should do.
I'll force you.
Okay. I'm coming to Denmark hopefully in this end of the year. Yeah.
All right. Then we can have a gaming session.
Let's have a session there.
I think you said on the air here that you would probably not play any game until you retired.
Well, I'm sure Football Manager will be waiting for me when I retire, but I don't have the time right now.
That's the thing. These games take like 20 to 30 hours to complete. That is a tall order.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
So do you have anything else on A Quiet Place?
I have a lot of stuff, but I think we got around to what it's really about. And essence, that we really love the feeling. And it's a very successful movie. And you should really watch it in a cinema.
Yeah, go see it. Definitely.
Yeah. All right.
So, yeah. Okay, you go now. You go, well, go you, and you, do the thing.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay, I'll just do it. Okay, let's just go. And next up is Phantom Thread.
You can sew almost anything into the canvas of a coat. When I was a boy, I started to hide things in the linings of the garments. Things that only I knew were there. Secrets.
Good morning.
Will you have dinner with me?
Yes.
I feel as if I've been looking for you for a very long time.
You look beautiful. Very beautiful.
I have things I want to do. Things I simply cannot do without you.
Reynolds has made my dreams come true, and I have given him what he desires most in return. Every piece of me.
That was a clip from the trailer of Phantom Threat, the newest Paul Thomas Anderson movie, and the last movie with Daniel Day-Lewis. Apparently, he retires from acting after this phenomenal role.
Well, maybe he's like a boxer. He comes back and, you know, out of retirement.
One last
performance. One last role. Yeah. He's not going to like stay inactive for 20, 30, 40 years. No way.
Don't think so?
Nope.
Maybe it takes too much of a toll on him to do this kind of character acting.
Well, what he does, I'm sure it takes a toll.
Yeah. But maybe it's the only thing he wants to do. Not unlike the actor or the character he's actually playing in this movie. Reynolds Woodcock.
Reynolds Woodcock.
Maker.
That is some name.
Yes. And it's a made-up name, right? But sure. But still, it's based on a true story. Or it's based on a true character.
Really?
Something like that.
Is it?
Well, maybe not. Someone you might know. I don't know.
I don't think it is.
I looked up his name, Reynolds Woodcock, and apparently that's just a fictional character, at least. I just had the feeling that it was based on the, well, some fashion house in Britain. But it might or might not have been. I am not the one to do research, as you all know. That's your department. but yeah, Phantom Threat. It's about the dressmaker Reynolds Woodcock, who is making dresses, and finds a muse that makes him make even more dresses. And I guess the movie is all about Reynolds, his psyche, who is he, and also it's a love story between him and his muse, Alma.
Well, she is a muse in a... Well, she's the latest muse in a long line of muses.
Yeah,
wouldn't you say?
That's what you get. That's the feeling you get. And that's one of the things that I find very fascinating with this movie, is that from the beginning, it sets up this suspense that this relationship might not last, you know, because you're being introduced to his latest muse, or like previous muse. And that's all you see of this muse, because then he goes out and finds another one. So throughout the whole movie, you're in suspense whether or not this is going to last, basically.
I think I need another one for this one. Well, you know me. I'm always one for
like
trying new things, and this was a... This is another beer. It's canned this time.
Yeah, it's a whole garden.
Well, thank you.
Yes, I saw that. I saw that. But you're always, I mean, you're predictable in that sense, that you have one fancy different beer and then you go back to your whole garden.
And I have found that the canned stuff, it's just the same.
Okay.
Yeah. It's very good.
You just need to pour it in a glass, which Tryggvi did this time.
Now I'm forced to use a glass, and I'm working on my 33%, was it, thing? Angle and stuff?
Yeah. I think that's how you should do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. In order to limit the foam.
It looks good. Good head on it. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Good. Anyway.
Oh, that's good. Yes. Anyways. Well, okay. Reynolds Woodcock. Let's start at the beginning. Yeah. What did you think about that? Well, in my mind, exquisite piano theme.
I love the whole score. I mean, talking about scores and lack thereof, here there's a lot of score, but it's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. And it's so refreshing having this kind of piano score underneath a movie. A classical score. Basically,
The music is just that piano piece is just amazing. I gotta say,
yeah.
And it's right there in the beginning, and it kind of sets the mood as well. Mm-hmm. It places you as well in time, I think, and time and place really, and class and everything. It's perfect.
Yeah. You know, I was worried starting to watch this. I like Paul Thomas Anderson very much, but I was a bit worried about a movie that was about a dressmaker and fashion and all this kind of stuff that I'm not very much into. But man, I mean, from the beginning, you were just transported to that realm. And you were in it from the first moment. And kudos to that. This is the first movie where I actually cared about fashion. Yeah.
Yeah, about fashion, you kind of got to appreciate the craftsmanship and the artistry of it. I agree with you there. But I have to interject a little bit here. Mm-hmm. I just checked out the music. I hadn't done that.
No.
And you may have heard a click on my
yes,
mouse.
It's been clicking away. I'll try to remember.
It's Johnny Greenwood from Radiohead.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you that I was a huge fan of Radiohead's early stuff. Mm-hmm. I haven't, you know how it is when you get older. I haven't followed it, you know. But the bands and OK Computer and mm-hmm. all that just dominated a part of my life.
Yeah.
So I understand
why it resonated.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
So there you go.
Yeah, it didn't resonate in that sense with me. I just felt like it fit it, the style and everything, and it worked very well together with the picture. But it didn't touch me in that way.
Yeah.
However, I did feel like the first 5-10 minutes of the movie was beautiful in the way that they set up this whole scene, you know, the House of Woodcock, his character, how he everything revolves around him, how everything is very superficial in some way, and there's a lot of stuff being tucked away and not shown, you know, in their characters. You got all the flash and all the facade, but at one point, within the first 5 minutes, so it's not really a spoiler, you have this tilt of the camera up, so you get a picture up through the house, mm-hmm. and you get the ceiling, which is completely it looks a bit damaged.
Yeah.
And you have cracks in the walls and stuff like that, just in the corners. But everything is just perfect everywhere else. So it's like this, on the surface, everything is good, but underneath some things are crumbling.
So you took that as a yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I totally took that as a picture of him, because the whole House of Woodcock, that is basically him, mm-hmm. you know. And then that whole sequence ends with his sister opening the door to a new customer. And she's just having this really like sour face on until she opens the door and she's just like, welcome. And now it's on. And it's just, it was such a beautiful way of introducing all the themes basically of the movie within 5 minutes.
Sure. I agree with that.
Mm.
I agree. The pacing
beautiful as well.
The pacing, you know me, I like a good script. Mm. I thought the pacing was excellent.
Yeah.
The whole way through. I'm a little curious, though, as to why the director decided to do this scenes again and again as a kind of a structural device where she's talking to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
In like a lounge chair.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Do you know why? Did you think that was necessary? Because it's for me, it's lost time.
Yeah.
I would have used that time differently. What do you think?
I was wondering about that, but I was mainly wondering when in time that happened. And I'm not sure I ever figured out when that actually happened. But at least it kept you a little bit in suspense. It seemed like she knew something that he might not know.
Mm.
You know? So it seemed like she was like one step ahead of him, so it made her more insightful in some way that she was actually talking about the experience with someone else. But yeah, I don't think it was a bad choice. It was something that I was I was wondering while watching the movie, like when is this happening? Who is she talking to? And
in that regard, I think it's quite unnecessary. I look at it as a lost. It's completely. I said it unnecessary, yeah. But I have a beef, mm-hmm. but I'm gonna keep that for a while.
Yes.
Let's just talk about the some of the exquisite stuff on show here.
Yeah.
The detail, the clothes, the set design. I mean, my wife, she was absolutely. She just loves this film.
Yes.
And she was always commenting on some details, one thing or another, regarding the clothes, regarding the various aspects of the set design, which was fantastic. I loved your point about the cracks and the corners and all that. I think that didn't think about that. I think that's great. But... it was also funny, didn't you think?
It was very funny.
Really nice details.
Like dry humor.
Yeah, like with the porridge.
Porridge? Yeah. Yeah.
There was porridge and my wife was like laughing out loud, but probably only one in the theater. But, yeah. But she told me that I was like... I kind of missed this. Apparently, it went like this. They were having... he wanted porridge from his cook. And he wanted porridge for everybody. Sister. Girlfriend. And then he was talking to his sister or something about the porridge. And they was talking... There's cream. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of ended up like him saying, yeah, but it's kind of naughty, isn't it? Cream with porridge? Mm-hmm. And the camera was not him. It's kind of the end of the scene.
Yeah.
It's really, really funny.
Yeah, it's one of those things you need to be there in order to understand.
Yeah. I'm not doing it justice, I know.
But I I remember the scene, and it was this, like, well, it's just not supposed to be funny like that, but it is.
Yeah, kind of.
Mm.
And some of the stuff he said at the breakfast table, which was a staple, it was at one point he said it was like you rode a horse through.
Yeah, yes, exactly. She was so over-dramatic. Yeah, exactly. But it was very noisy.
Yeah,
and she ruined his entire day.
Entire day.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, that's one of those quotes that have stuck with us. You know, like, it's very unsettling what you're doing. I'm always using it with Ellie now. Like, if she's eating something a little bit too loudly or something,
and she does, you know, that, Ellie. She's always eating something out loud. Oh,
always
the noise.
No, but you know, you use that now because it was so funny, but it was not meant as a joke in the movie in that way. But it's just such a fun line. The same thing when he's up in the attic and he's being disturbed with a cup of tea, and he didn't ask for a cup of tea, and he's like, yeah, okay, you're leaving now, but the disturbance stays with me. Yes. Like, it's already here. And it's just so melodramatic here.
Yeah. In a funny way, it's a little bit like a comedy of manners at times, but not really, though. Yeah.
But on the other hand, you also understand him. Like, you understand this character, even with all his quirks. And I think that's one of the reasons why I felt like I understood this fashion world as well, because he was so much in it, and you knew how much he poured his own life into all these creations. So I don't know. Yeah.
I mentioned before the pacing, and it's I always like when scenes get to play out without some green grass editing job.
Yes.
And we have that here. And the dialogue, very sparse and very well selected. And has to be, because you have these great actors. So let's talk about the actors a little bit. Yeah. I mean, first of all, Mr. Lewis, Day Lewis.
Yeah.
What did you think?
What did I think? It was just, it from the beginning when I saw him on screen, like his presence is just so, it just fills up the whole space.
It is. It does. Yeah.
And I think I turned to Elin, even though we were watching it, like, you know, like you shouldn't talk during a movie, but I was just like, he is phenomenal. You know, he didn't have to do much at all. He's just inhabiting this character from the beginning. And I think that's just amazing. Like, yeah, he's just an amazing actor, and he did really well in this movie.
I can imagine how it is to try to act with him in a scene with him, like that fantastic girl from Luxembourg, Vicky Krieps.
Vicky Krieps. Yeah.
She did that at one time when she was trying to make him a meal, a surprise meal. Didn't go quite well, but... that scene with they were like arguing, that was like a perfect dialogue, natural scene. there's something about the way Daniel Day-Lewis delivers a line, but he's also very good at like interplay. Like that scene, that was a great scene when they were arguing. She was fantastic. I love her. She's a find, this one. She kind of steals the show for me a little bit.
She does. She's very, very good.
Yeah.
And matches him perfectly.
Yeah. 27 years his senior, his junior.
Yeah.
But she's something. She will go places, that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course, Leslie Manville as his sister. Wow. She's like, that was like a perfect English upper-class understated performance, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was very... Yeah. I loved her.
When she was putting him in his place.
Yes. But also when she was showing affection a little bit. Elin and I interpreted her differently, but I felt like she was very, it was very hard for her to show real affection, but it seemed like there was a I don't know how I'm going to say, but it just seemed like there was sometimes she like wow, this is going really well. I'm sorry.
Use your words. Now.
Yes, I'm trying to use my words, but you know, she was very cold all the time.
Oh yeah.
But it felt like sometimes she really meant what she was saying, even though she was cold. Then there was some affection in her words. Unfortunately, Elin didn't agree with me with these situations, but I felt like I heard something through her words, and that just shows that she was a very good actor, here, because there was more layers to it, but she was basically only being cold.
I love that style of the like this understated style.
Mm-hmm.
It really does it for me. She was excellent, I have to say.
You know who I thought should have gotten more recognition?
Can I guess?
Yes.
Can I guess?
You can guess.
Harriet Sansom Harris?
Yes.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yes. BB.
BB Glaser from Frasier.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think I could have loved that actress more than I did before I saw this, but now I do.
Yes. I mean, I think that scene, actually, that whole like sequence where she's in the movie, it's probably one of the best succession of scenes. How the wedding invitation is being brought up as a setup, you get to see her come in and you have a predetermined opinion about her, and then that whole thing changes completely. And I mean, you're kind of just like an emotional wreck after that scene, and you feel so sorry for her, and kind of also for Reynolds and like everybody. And it's such a catalyst for the next part of the movie as well. It's like this turning point.
It really has a role to play, that scene.
Yes, and nobody is talking about that she's in this movie even. Like,
why is that? I mean, that is some performance, because that was the so tragic, the sheer unhappiness of that person just shown through in that short period of time, and it was just genius.
Yes.
Large part down to the actor, I would say.
I really think so, yeah. It could have been exploitative or like so like forced.
And like, made more comic as well.
Yes, also that.
But they avoided that.
And usually you do. Usually you make like, well, there's no hiding or like that she's put up as an evil person in some way, and usually in American films or like many films, those kind of people are just being laughed at, you know, rather than feel something for them, you know, or like try to understand them. And that's what they did here, and that was it was beautiful. It's the one scene that really like stayed with me after the movie.
I have such huge respect for Harriet Sansom Harris now. She is incredible. And what she did with that, I don't know, screen time, 3 minutes or something she got.
Yeah.
I don't know how long it was, but it was a catalyst in the film. The tragedy of her character was unbelievable.
Yes.
And her presence was amazing. I have no words. It was incredible. Why didn't she get nominated for
like
something?
Supporting actor?
Yeah.
Or something, you know?
Wow.
Yeah. But maybe you need to have a certain amount of screen time in order
probably
to be considered. But still. I mean, this was just special.
This was no normal performance.
No. It was a very,
I was looking so forward to talking about that scene with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, yeah.
Did it live up to the expectations?
Oh, yeah, it did. Thank you.
That's good.
What about the camera work? I don't know. You're like...
You know, I just really... I can't say much more than I really liked it. There's nothing that really stands out, but that's because everything was just so... Like, it just fitted so well to what they were telling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The handheld when he fell down.
Yeah.
That scene.
Yeah. Apparently, Paul Thomas Anderson did the cinematography himself also. So he's been.
That was handheld in that scene. Wouldn't you say?
When he fell down,
not where? Steadicam.
Probably some sort of steady stuff.
I don't
know, but it's not. It's not that steady cam feel.
No. Because he was unsettled in that scene. So the handheld really fitted that scene, I thought.
Yeah.
So I was impressed with that. I mean, it's basic stuff, I guess, you know. If you were doing it yourself, you would think, okay, if I want to interpret something with the camera, I would probably do it like that.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
But like you say, no, it fitted.
It's not flashy.
No, not at all.
And like maybe the only flashy thing I can think of, or like one shot, was like a shot behind a car when they were going out to the summer house or like summer resort.
Also, in front of the car when they're driving.
Yeah. Like
I thought that was a nice touch, though.
Exactly. It gave it some style.
Mm-hmm.
But it was probably the most flashy stuff in it. Also because you know that you have to set it up in a different kind of way, but everything else was just so, like, it was clean, it was precise, and it worked, you know?
Yeah.
Meticulous, maybe, you would say. Like, kind of like his dresses.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know much about dresses and fashion, but to me, it seemed like they were they weren't so flashy, the dresses, but they were quality and they were beautiful.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Some of them are really flashy, though. Like that Duchess, Countess type of person with the... There was some flashy stuff there. But still, I know what you mean.
Hmm.
Quality... craftsmanship.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
I'm not pretending to know anything about this whole craft.
No, but you feel like you do after watching this movie, and that's great.
You at least take it seriously as a art/craft, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You do.
Yeah. So can I go into my beef? Now,
didn't you already say something about beefs?
Beef.
Well, anyway, yes.
Well, not that I want to sound too PC here, but I thought I had a problem with it being entirely about. Him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I thought it was a little bit too male-centric. And it's not just me being a snob for the whole Me Too thing or anything like that.
Yeah.
My wife loved it, had no problem with it. But I just thought, and I was mentioning these scenes, interjection scenes when she's talking in the chair with the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
They were necessary to me. But why don't we get a single scene alone with the love interest, with Vicky Krieps? Why don't we get some sense of how she is as a person alone in her room or whatever, any kind of background, really, because it is... as much love story as it is about this man and his craft.
Yeah, but it's also about Alma, the love interest.
Yeah, but do you feel she's a supporting character.
Yeah.
I feel it's lacking a little bit there.
Yeah.
I was thinking, always efficient, you know, with my time. I was thinking, I would have had some, try to get a little bit to know that character a little bit more. instead of doing that unnecessary structural thing.
Yeah. I see what you're getting at.
It's very male-centric, don't you think?
Not necessarily. No, I mean, yes, it's about Woodcock.
Sure.
and his fashion house. But
and that's okay. I mean, you can make a movie about an all-male movie, and I will... That doesn't matter to me. I'm just saying, this is a love story as well. And yes. We have two... she's on the screen probably as long as he is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? But we don't get any filling in her character, I feel.
No. No, but you're left guessing a little bit where she comes from, like who she is, and
that doesn't that really matter who she is, if she's German or French or whatever. She speaks French to that princess.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have liked to have a few scenes, just some stuff like when she's alone, so we can like see. We don't have any sense of her life without him, I think. We have some scenes where she's picking mushrooms. Yeah. Maybe he filmed those scenes and just cut them. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, and you have the scene where she's a waitress. It just seems like she just accepted coming like it was like, yeah, I don't know, I never questioned it really. I thought it might be a little bit strange that she just up and left everything that she had, but then she did, and I didn't think of it anymore.
I mean, she fights back, but it's like she's not only objectified in her role in the film, but also the film kind of doesn't really. I would have liked to gotten to know her. I really would have.
Yeah,
because it's,
you know, like Reynolds, he objectified her very much because she was only amused to him in the beginning.
Absolutely,
and that's actually a. Like I really like that, because you didn't know Reynolds that much yet. You thought maybe there was some like back and forth between them, something romantic there, but basically it was just her physique, it was her beauty, it was all the outer qualities that he fell for and wanted to do something with.
Yeah.
But then you realize that she had more to her than just beauty. She had opinions, and she shared the same vision in some way as Reynolds Woodcock, with like what dresses can be used to, and you know, like something like that. So you got a little bit of a sense of that they shared the same kind of sensibility. In some way, but without spelling it out. And I don't know. Like I feel like I got enough information about her and her character.
Yeah.
I'm thinking the film.
I'm thinking the film doesn't suffer for it. I'm just saying I would have done it differently. I think it would have. I think it's a really, really good film. I really liked it. Enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
I just think if we would have had some kind of a filling in that character, it would have helped make it a little less... You know, you could say, if you were being mean, it's another one of those Daniel Day-Lewis jerk-offs, you know? It's all about him. Mm. It's him, his last film, whatever. You could say that.
Yes.
So that would have countered that, I think. Yeah. This is I was a little bit annoyed with this, so yeah. I'm only giving it 4 stars. But yeah. Like I said, only 4.
But 4 is but good. But then again, Alma is also, or like, yeah, Alma is stealing many of the scenes.
She definitely compliments him.
Yeah.
And we get how strong she is. We get, but she kind of only exists in relation to him, whereas he exists on his own, definitely.
Yeah.
You at least know what I'm saying. Do you know? I understand what I'm complaining about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying I would have done it differently. I think it would have been better, but who am I to say anything about this?
Well, you're entitled as anyone else.
I have a podcast.
Yes. One last thing, though.
Okay.
I will say is I never knew butter could be that suspenseful.
Yeah.
That was brilliant.
It was.
Yeah. It was just brilliant. There's nothing more to say. I won't spoil it. It's the best use of butter in a movie. And I actually watched the movie called Butter of a person making butter sculptures. That was not good. This is good.
Yeah. I like butter a lot. And okay. More so after this. Yeah.
But you shouldn't, because too much butter is not good.
Yeah, you can say that about anything.
Apparently. Yeah.
But a lot of butter is good.
Yeah, for me. Yeah. A lot is good, but not too much. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it depends on you.
So you have anything else?
No, I think I'll leave it at that also, because I feel like my words are leaving me. It's getting a bit too late with our conversation here.
But, That's my fault, people. That's my fault.
Yeah. But you know, I gave this movie 4.5 stars because of the way it just made me feel. You know, that's when it comes up above 4 stars. It's mm-hmm. when it affects me in a way that I can't necessarily describe, but it's just a beautiful, like, whole movie. Like, and it transports me into a world where I don't care about sitting and finding, like, minute details that are wrong or something.
Yeah.
Like, you're just in the movie. This is the kind of movie that really does that to you. And, I really love it.
Sure. There's something exquisite about this film, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm quite happy that I managed to enjoy it so much, even though there was stuff that bothered me a little bit. But sometimes that stuff takes over and really colors your opinion more. But it didn't here, and it shouldn't. No. It's very, 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 very good film.
Mm-hmm. And also, as you say with Shep, Elin was also watching this movie on a completely different level than I was due to all the dresses and all the fashion.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
She
went over my head in some ways, but, you know.
Yeah, my wife, she likes stuff that has character. Like, she was pointing at stuff. Look at that mirror. Look at that thing. Look at that chair. Look at that craftsmanship on that chair. Look at that. She was noticing the ceiling and stuff like that as well.
And
always pointing. Just, she absolutely loved it, and she puts it like really high on the films we've seen together. Mm-hmm. Maybe at the top.
That's
saying
amazing.
Something.
Yeah, that is saying something.
Mm-hmm.
This is history in the
history
making.
Being made.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway. Yeah. Next time.
Next time, what are we thinking?
I really don't know.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to go to watch Lucky. But that's nowhere to be seen in Iceland.
Not appearing anywhere.
There's quite a few movies coming up. There is that The Rain, but I'm not sure if we get to watch that whole thing and whether it's even worth it. Or The Break. It's all those the series.
I hope you get to watch The Break, and we can we can get into that because it's a binge worthy thing.
Okay. Yeah.
I feel
the 3rd of May the Utøya movie is coming out.
Oh.
Yeah. Which I somehow really don't want to watch. But it's like those catastrophe movies. I don't know. I haven't heard anything about it, but I just saw it recently that it's coming out. So the 3rd of May here. So on
we'll
Thursday.
We'll see. We'll try to do something Nordic if we can, but
yes, that would be great.
By the
Lady Bird is out here.
Really?
I'm just saying. Yeah. Also, I'm going to watch that one.
It has not yet been out here. How annoying is that? This is unacceptable.
It is. It is. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll try to do something Nordic if we can, but we'll see what happens, I guess.
Yeah. Let me just see here. Just while we're on air still.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems like the Unknown Soldier is on. Did you watch it yet?
The Finnish.
The Finnish movie?
Yeah. We accommodated the Finns already, but I think it's out of theaters at least.
Yes.
It might be on demand here.
Okay.
Could be.
We'll see. We'll figure something out. We'll keep you all in suspense until next time.
Okay. As always, you can find us everywhere. Letterboxd, Twitter, Facebook. Come find us. And comment. Whatever.
Yes, please do. Our website is theconversationpodcast.net, and there you can also comment and find all our previous episodes, and you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and any podcaster of your choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's it for today, Rene.
It is.
You want to say goodbye?
I can say goodbye.
Do it.
Goodbye, you all. See you. In 2 weeks.